3 straight years, the Ravens in the playoffs winning at least one game. There's only one coach in the NFL to do that over this period. It's John Harbaugh. Got an extension this week. Joins us live on the program. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
Congratulations.
Morning. Hey, thank you.
All right, so when you're at the Combine next week, who's buying, you or your brother?
Jim's buying. He's still outpacing me, by as usual.
Not that you're bitter or anything.
No, absolutely not. Not competitive or anything.
You know, make sure it's a big tab.
Of course.
They've got the steakhouse down there, and I can't remember the name of it, but they have. Have you eaten there with the ridiculous horseradish?
Oh yeah, St. Elmo's. Yeah. They got this shrimp cocktail sauce that they kind of like wink at each other and put it out there. You think it's regular cocktail sauce, but it's on fire.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I was down there for the Major League Baseball meetings last December when I was doing XM shows, and I'm sitting there, and there's a huge table of us and some. Jeff Nelson, former major leaguer, some other major leaguers. Jim Bowden was with us. Buck Martinez was with us. And on the next table is Ozzie Guillen. And they set us up, for those of us that had never been there, and they said, oh, yeah, the horseradish sauce and the shrimp is great. We're crying, John. We're like, tears are coming. That's how you have that sauce. That's how bad it is, right?
And they're laughing. You're they're crying. Laughing. They're laughing. That's what they do. Yeah, the Combine's good, though. It's funny, you get there that week, and Indianapolis is an amazing town. I mean, it's basically just a small town placed in the middle of cornfields in flat Indiana where two highways intersect. I mean, there's not even like rivers or any natural reasons for there to be a city there other than some highways cross. And they built a little sports empire there. I mean, they have cheerleading, they have basketball tournaments, it's basically hotels and restaurants and a big convention center.
John Harbaugh is our guest. Hello, now to get the franchise tag, as we saw. I mean, did you speak to him personally? I saw that he was spoken to. They said he took it well. He's good with it. Is he really? I mean, a lot of players don't like being franchised. I know there's been some discussion about that. Was he okay?
Yeah, you know, we did talk, and, it's kind of one of those things, kind of an ongoing conversation, but I talked to him a couple of days ago, and he really does understand it. Mike McCartney's his agent. I've known Mike since Mike was in ninth grade, and I think everybody understands what's going on here, and it's impossible to sign him right now to a contract because there's a certain rule. It's called a 30% rule, and you can only a certain type of free agent where Helody's at in his years can only go up 30% from what it was a year ago. So obviously that's not going to be enough to get Helody signed. So you just can't do it. Our only other option is to let him go to free agency, and obviously we're not going to do that. So this is a way to get us to the point where we can negotiate and get the deal done. I think the Ravens have done a great job over the years with the guys who've been franchised, you know, Terrell Suggs most recently, mm-hmm. and then even historically. So, you know, it's something we got to get done, and I'm sure we will.
Did everyone you went to high school with end up in professional football somehow?
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so, actually. Mike's an agent, so it works. It helps.
Would you guys talk at reunions? Because he's an agent.
Well, I don't think there's any rules against that right now. I'm not sure what all the rules are right now with this impending lockout. I don't know who we're allowed to talk to, so I'll have to check the latest memos on that.
Yeah, we wanted to get you on before that. We don't know if you'll ultimately be barred from talking to the media. Well, let me ask you about this, because I know you're a very organized guy, and I know Plan A has your rookie mini camps, your OTAs, and your mandatory mini camps, and all these things, yeah. And I'm certain you have your schedule all planned out.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't think there's anyone out there that thinks that schedule is really going to happen the way everyone wants. So Plan B, how do you come up with Plan B to get your football team better in a scenario where the likelihood is you're not going to see your football team the way you have in prior off seasons?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point, Steve. I think it's there's Plan B and there's Plan C and all the way through Z, really. It's kind of, matter of fact, Chuck Pagano and I were talking about this morning the possibility that we may just come up and have, say, 3 weeks mm-hmm. to be ready for our first game.
Wow.
You know, do we want to try to contact somebody for a scrimmage? You know, will we be allowed to do that? How much of the offense, special teams are we going to actually be able to install? And really, what you'll be able to do if you had that scenario is just put in what you're going to get ready to play in the first 3 or 4 games. So that being the case, we've got to build game plans now in the off season as best we can for our opponents. We've really got to work on all 14 of the opponents with the idea that, you know, then we'll see who the first 4 are, and then that'll be our training camp install. Will be, you know, whatever the game plan is for the first 4 teams. So that's probably Z, you know. Then basically anything in between, you know, if we start in March, if we start in April, if we start in May, if we start in June, if we have a full training camp, how are we going to set this up? That's what we're working on now.
John Harbaugh is our guest. Hey, Coach, you told me the combine a minute ago. I actually watch the workouts.
I mean,
I'm probably the only guy in America besides someone in the game, but I actually enjoy it.
Check it out. Those ratings are pretty good. You'd be surprised.
Are the ratings prove otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, I really do enjoy it, though. But look at the combine. When you go down there, do you really put a lot of stuff? I mean, a guy's 40 time, or if he can, you know, do bench 2 1/4 35 times, does this translate into NFL ability? Because I think it was Chris Carr said, talking about guys really fast. He said the guys were faster, but like Ocho Cinco's the quickest when you're trying to cover somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, do these things like, you know, a broad jump, a 40-yard dash, are they really that important, or is it something else?
Well, you know, I don't know if they're that important. You're right about that. It's probably there's levels. I mean, everything has importance. So the most important thing is how a guy plays. You look for football players, but we'll have seen, the scouts have seen all these guys, and as coaches, we're starting to look at these guys now. You base it on what they are as a football player on tape when you study them. But then you get to watch a guy move in person. So how does he move? What's his agility like? What's his balance like? I'm watching pass rushers right now the last couple of days, and something that I noticed on one of these guys was he has huge hands, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at guys' hands. How big is this guy's hands? How long are his arms, you know? How are they built? What's their balance? Because the hands are huge as far as edge rushing leverage. You watch guys like Woodley and Suggs and Harrison. Those guys have strong hands, and they create leverage on the edges of a pass blocker. So, you know, all those little things that kind of you have an eye for when you've been coaching or scouting all these years, you kind of look for those guys, and it just kind of adds to the evaluation.
John Harbaugh joins us here in the Norris and Davis Show. I'm getting all kinds of text messages from people. Steve, you're going to ask him about the offense. Steve, you're going to ask him about Cam. So I know you listen to the show from time to time on your way in, probably very early, earlier than people probably would expect a coach to be getting into work. So I'll just ask you right off the bat. You're aware of the fans' sentiment about everything that happened with the offense, and particularly since the end of the season. What would you say to reassure fans that Cam's the right guy for the job?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm very sensitive to you know, the fans, because what I like about our fans is they care. You know, it matters to them. And, you know, just and we care too, and the players care, and the coaches care, and everybody. It matters, man. I'm really disappointed with that third quarter. I mean, I'm ticked off about it, you know, and I still am. I feel like I've said it before, and I took a lot of heat for saying I think the Steelers won our Super Bowl. Well, you take heat no matter what you say, but I'm going to continue to believe that, you know. We should have won that game. We gave that game away. That's our fault. It starts with me, you know. That's where it begins, and that's where we've got to get better. So, but as far as our offense goes, I've got a lot of confidence in Cam Cameron. You know, I believe in Cam Cameron. I think he's a great football coach. That's what I felt 3 years ago when I hired him here. I've known the guy for over 20 years. I've watched him over the years. I know what kind of person he is. I know what kind of man he is. I know what kind of teacher he is. And I know that he's disappointed in the way we've played at times. And nobody's more determined than he is to make our offense better. So, you know, I think he's the right man for the job. I believe it in my heart. And he's going to get an opportunity along with the help of the rest of us. We're all going to work together and put the best team out there we can. So I just feel real strongly about it, and I'm not backing off.
Are you shocked, surprised, disappointed, upset? What by fans' reaction to Cam? I mean, you listen. People have called for his job.
No, you know what? I think that's just part of football and part of being a fan. It's okay. You know, I think I'm looking forward to next year and hearing what the calls are next year. You know, that's kind of the challenge. You kind of bow up a little bit and you say, okay, I know these people care. I know they want us to do really well, and I know that, you know, the Ravens fans are on the Ravens side, you know, so they're on our side, and they want what's best, and, you know, it doesn't bother me really at all. I'm looking forward to a chance. I can't wait till we line up again and get a chance to.
You're probably already thinking about the 49ers.
Yeah, when are we going to play them, man? Like I said, I'm hoping Thanksgiving on Thursday, so they got to come all the way out here in a short week. That's what I'm very stressed for. You know, it's Thanksgiving, and that's the way it's football.
And he'll be eating in the hotel on Wednesday night.
John Harbaugh's our guest. So forget the offense for a second. The new defensive coach. Talking about Pagano, the players, and we've spoken to a lot of players, you know, at the time when he was announced, this genuine, you know, affection for this guy. Guys really seem to like him. I mean, how do you think he's going to fare? And does that matter? Do you have to like your coordinator?
Well, no, you don't have to, but I think it helps, you know, and that's why I'm a big believer in promoting from within and building continuity and all that. And that was the same way with Greg 2 years ago and with Chuck now. I mean, you know, they've been around Chuck even longer. They love him. I love his style. I mean, I love the way he coaches. He and I see, I think, football from the same perspective. You know, he's a back end guy, just like I am, and he wants to get after people and be aggressive. And Greg did too. But you know, Chuck's got a certain edge and a great personality. He relates to the players in a really good way. I mean, he's fiery. He's aggressive. He's very knowledgeable. He's very smart. He works really hard at it. You know, I'm walking in his office here just this morning, and you look up on the board, and there's, you know, there's over 100 defenses on that board, and it's like, man, you know what? We're getting some work done here. I know we can't run all these, but you know, these are the things he's looking at.
Squeeze that in 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. There you go. But I'm excited about what our defense is going to look like next year. But we got the other thing we got to do is we got to help him. You know, we got to add some players into the mix and somehow find a way to improve the guys that we've got.
We're talking with John Harbaugh here on the Norris and Davis Show. You know, you've been adamant. I don't know a coach that isn't adamant about people that have an issue, players that have an issue, keep it in-house. Joe Flacco came out at the Polar Bear Plunge, and he said he took it personally, that it was an attack upon him that Jim Zorn was fired, that maybe it means that they aren't happy with him. Now, we were both very critical of Flacco for that. I said there's nothing to be gained by Joe Flacco coming out and doing that. How disappointed were you with him that he aired his grievances that way?
Well, Steve, I don't really mind guys saying what they think. If you look back over the last couple of years, you tell guys, you say what you think. I think that the main thing is that you try to be a good teammate and you try to be respectful of the other people. So, you know, I believe that Joe understands that I did what I thought was best, you know, for the team and for the development of our team, for our offense, and for his development too. So he and I have had a lot of conversations about that. We talked about it a lot heading up into the decision. I know he knows that I really took what he was telling me into consideration. You know, it took me 2 weeks to figure the whole thing out and decide what direction we were going to go. And Joe had a huge impact on that and continues to have a huge impact on that.
But have you talked to him since the
decision?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Talked to him all the time. And I think he's really, you know, I know he's committed to making it work. And he understands what we're trying to do. But I respect the fact that he had such high regard and was willing to stand up for his coach, you know. And I feel the same way about Jim Zorn. I think Jim Zorn's a heck of a coach, a heck of a person. I think Jim did a heck of a job this year. It just, going forward, in my mind, wasn't the best mix in terms of building the offense. And it really had more to do with, you know, styles and offensive systems and things like that, just to streamline the teaching of our players. So, and you know, Joe in this case, obviously. But to me, it's not a reflection on Joe at all. I mean, I think Joe Flacco had a great year last year. It's not going to be as great a year as he's going to have in future years, obviously, because he's only going to get better. This is a guy who's in his third year, and statistically, he's one of the best third-year quarterbacks in the history of football. So, hey, we're never satisfied. Joe will be the first one to tell you that he's going to get better in every single way, and we're all shooting for that. But I don't think we should ever lose sight of the fact that this guy is as good a third-year quarterback as has played in the history of this game so far, and I believe in him. I mean, he's my quarterback. He's our quarterback. He's going to be our quarterback. And we're going to win championships with Joe Flacco.
Coach John Harbaugh is our guest. You know, the combine's coming up, the draft. Who knows what's going to happen with the lockout? If no, yes. But all that aside, look at it next season. Is there some area, or is it going to be every area you're going to look at? But is there something you really would look to improve next year, looking back?
Maybe one area.
One area?
Yeah, well, God, it's so hard because I would hate to limit it to that. You guys don't be. But I want to run the ball better. You know, mm-hmm. If we're going to look at one thing and say, okay, we need to be better at it, to me that takes a lot of pressure off everything else. And, you know, it wasn't that we didn't try to run the ball. We ran the ball as much more than we've ever run the ball here. We practiced running more in training camp. We ran the ball as much in the preseason as we ever have. It just kind of didn't work out with some of the offensive line changes that we had. And, you know, I'm disappointed in that because I think I really think football always starts with running the football and stopping the run. You know, it's won and lost in the trenches. Now, you don't score a lot of points by just pounding the ball. You've got to be able to throw the football to score points. But to finish people off and to physically control a game, you got to be able to do that.
John, one of the things that people look about the offense and they look and see the production that Bolden had, his numbers are down from his career, Houshmandzadeh, Mason, all these guys. You're going to be more involved with the offense this year. You told us that earlier in the offseason. Does this offense need to make any tweaks to the way it does things to take advantage of Bolden, Mason, and some of these guys and their skills more, or do guys just have to do things better?
Well, both, but I think our, as coaches, what we look at is how we can take advantage of guys more. So, yes, absolutely, Steve, we got to do that. I mean, we got to find a way to get our guys involved in the ways that doing the things that they do best, and that's what we're meeting on now. I mean, you know, we've been in offensive meetings. Offense, defense, and special teams, everybody's meeting, but I've been in the offensive meetings now for the last 3 weeks, and we're going to get in here at 8 o'clock again this morning and start pounding again. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do, try to build the offense around what our players do best and so we can get everybody involved the best way we can. And we got to do, you know, I think we tried to do that last year, but we've got to do a better job this year than we did last year.
Well, it's 5-8.
Yeah. We'll let you go. Well, get into the meeting.
It's 5-8. Hey. You better go.
Yeah. How much? We only got 5 months till the season, man. We got work to do. Let's go. Right?
I hope it's only 5 months.
Yeah.
I hope.
It will be. I cannot imagine that they wouldn't get this thing resolved. Maybe I'm biased. Maybe it's wishful thinking. But how can we not play football? I mean, there's too much at stake. The guys make too much money. It means too much to people. You know, get it fixed. Get it resolved. Let's go.
Yeah.
John, as always, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
I love you guys' show. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it very much. Right. That's John Harbaugh joining us. Yes, he listens in the morning. Some days he might be listening. I can't believe these fans are saying that stuff.
I can't believe they say it sometimes, actually.